Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground.
Hello, and welcome to the Garden Goddess Show on WDRT Radio, 91.9 FM, Viroqua, Wisconsin. This is Donna Smith, and I'm happy to be here again to talk gardening with you for the next half hour. On today's show, my guest is Hannah Pozorski. She has some wonderful insights into fall cleanup, wrapping up the garden for the season, and how to evaluate what you did this year to help you plan for the next gardening season. I'll suggest a garden tool, a few gardening books worth checking out, and I'll share another song or two for the garden playlist. We'll get started with a couple of questions from the garden cart. If you have a question about something going on in your garden or want some help or advice, you can email me. Send an email to gardening@wdrt.org, and I will try to answer those questions on a future show. The first question that comes to mind at this time of year is, when do I harvest my potatoes? If your plants are still green and the foliage is upright, then the plant is still growing and putting energy into making tubers. So you want to wait to harvest. If the stalks are falling over or laying on the ground, the lower portion of the plant begins to yellow and die, then this indicates that the plant has stopped growing and the leaves have stopped putting nutrition back down into the tuber. The tubers will no longer get bigger, so this is the time to harvest your potatoes. When you plant your potatoes, you can also pay attention to the maturity date of your particular variety. It could be 60, 90, or even 120 days. So keep track of when you planted and when they should mature, and watch your plant for yellowing at that time, and you should be ready to harvest. Driving around the area earlier this month, I saw trees already turning color. I saw a big, beautiful maple that was half green and the other half was already in full fall color. I thought, is something wrong with this tree? It could be a reaction by the tree to stress of some kind, like water stress or root damage, possibly. A healthy tree will have more uniform fall color. And it did seem a bit early for that much fall color, so that was also a clue that it could be stress-related. How trees change color in the fall is a very interesting topic, and I found some great information on the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources website under their fall color report. Leaf color comes from pigments, which are substances produced by the leaf cells. Chlorophyll gives us the green during the growing season and is the most important of the pigments. Without it, trees wouldn't be able to use sunlight to produce food. Their other pigments are carotenoid, which gives yellow, orange, and brown color, and the anthocyanins, which gives us the reds. As autumn approaches, the days become shorter and the nights get longer and cooler, and trees respond to the decreasing amount of sunlight by producing less and less chlorophyll. Eventually, the tree stops producing chlorophyll. When that happens, the carotenoid already in the leaves can finally show through in the yellows and oranges and browns of fall. For trees that typically turn red, purple, or crimson each year, they rely on anthocyanins. Several warm, sunny autumn days and cool but not freezing nights can make a big difference in a tree's red colors from year to year. In daylight, the leaves produce lots of sugars, but the cool night temperatures prevent the sugar sap from flowing through the leaf veins and down into the branches and trunk. Research shows that anthocyanins are produced as a form of protection for the trees. They allow the plant to recover nutrients in the leaves before they fall off. This helps make sure that the tree will be ready for the next growing season. Rain and drought can also affect fall color. The best autumn colors come when there's been a warm, wet spring, a summer that's not too hot or dry, and a fall with plenty of warm, sunny days and cool nights. You can use fall leaf color to help you identify different tree species. Look for these colors in your neighborhood. The oaks will be red, brown, or russet color. Dogwoods will be purple red, birches will be a bright yellow, and maple trees show a wide range of colors. Sugar maples tend to be more orange and red, black maples a glowing yellow, and red maple bright scarlet. You can find the full article here on the website at dnr.wisconsin.gov/education/fall colors. Now it's time for our patio talk with my guest, Hannah Pozorski. Hannah has a beautiful garden, and at this time of year, she takes time for her fall reflections, looking back over the growing season, making notes of successes and challenges in the garden, and what tasks need attention in the fall. Thanks for coming today, Hannah.
Thank you for having me, Donna.
You're most welcome. Glad to have you as a guest. Tell me how you got interested in gardening.
I grew up in a gardening family. We had 3.5 acres with a large vegetable garden and small orchard. My dad was a master gardener, and I just never knew any different. I thought that's how everyone lived. Obviously, that's not true. In post-college, I was lucky enough to join the team at Green Bay Botanical Garden. There, I saw firsthand how a garden can build a community, both between people, plants, and nature. My life has never been the same since.
Oh, that's awesome. I worked at an arboretum, so kind of...
Soil sisters.
Yeah. Yes.
Soil sisters.
There you go. So in your garden, you've got a lot of annuals and perennials and vegetables. Do you know how many different kinds of plants you have in your garden?
I have no idea. When we moved to our home 4 years ago, it pretty much consisted of landscape fabric, rocks, and hostas, a vigorous little plot of Johnny Jump Ups and a sad pumpkin. And I have been adding in anything and everything I can get my hands on since moving here with the help of many local flower farmers and local nurseries.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an abundance of flowers and things that you can find in this area.
Yes.
So one of my questions for you was, do you keep a garden journal? And have you been doing that since you started your garden?
I don't have a garden journal. I simply rely on a single piece of graph paper that I fill out from year to year. It has a little map of my garden, and I typically fill it out in January when I'm placing seed orders and all my hopes and dreams are just in my head, and I kind of map it out. And I take notes on it throughout the season, and especially in the fall. And then when I come back to drawing my little grid paper garden for the next season, I just looked at my previous season's notes, and we just take that and build upon it.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. So on your grid paper garden, do you like make notes on like your successes and your failures? How do you do that?
I definitely do. At the end of the season, I take some time to write some fall reflections. What worked, what didn't, and why? What did I miss having this year that maybe I chose to not grow that I had grown in previous years? Mm-hmm. And what can I do without that I grew this year? And I'm thinking that was too much work, too much effort, not worth it. I want to enjoy my gardening time.
Right.
I'll ask myself what excited my neighbors and what excited nature. And I base some decisions just solely on that. And did I have any gaps in my blooming? I like to try to make sure that I have blooms from the very first bumblebee, you know, to the very last monarch or hummingbird or whoever it is that I'm lucky enough to have as a visitor in my garden.
Sure.
And then lastly, I really like to think about how I can reshape the garden that I already have and grow into new spaces that I have in my yard that I haven't dug up yet.
Yeah. And I have walked through your garden, and there are a lot of spaces.
There's a lot of opportunities.
There is a lot of opportunity there. And I'm just amazed, too, at like how much is already packed into your little urban garden.
Yeah.
Like, you have a corner lot.
Yep.
And it is just packed full of stuff.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite things that you have in the garden right now?
Well, right now I'm really enjoying my chocolate cosmos. They are so fragrant. It just smells of deep, luscious chocolate. I can't describe it any way else. If you don't have chocolate cosmos in your garden, put some in your garden. And they act like dahlias. So they have little tubers. You can dig them up in the fall. And okay. You just treat them like a dahlia. And you bring them back out in the spring and replant them. And they're a treat. And things about my garden is that it's also a sensory garden and an art garden. I do a lot of pressing and drying and dyeing, ink making, hammering, you name it. I'm playing with everything in my garden. And so chocolate cosmos have a lot to offer that way. Other favorite things in my garden right now is my single dahlias, because the bumblebees are just loving them. It's their favorite place to sleep at night. It's their first nourishing meal of the day. So I think my dahlias are putting on a show, and anything that is just that last push of blooms. I've got some morning glories that are stunning me, and a lot of my friends' morning glories aren't pushing out the same way at this time.
Sure. Okay. So what were some of the new things that you tried this year?
Yeah. This year, something new I did growing was sunflowers. And that might seem really basic, but I've learned since moving to this area, it is very windy, and growing sunflowers here intimidated me despite staking them. So sunflowers was new, and I'm definitely doing that again. Decorative corn, I'm growing some tiny little strawberry corn. It's so cute. I can turn it into popcorn. I can use it on bird feeder wreaths in the winter. Love it. So fun. And I'm adding more currants in the next year ahead. I have pink champagne currants. Thank you to the suggestion from my friend Randall at Bountiful Baskets. Okay. And pink champagne currants are the best thing I ate out of my garden this year. And I'm going to need at least 3 more plants of those.
I was going to say, that sounds pretty delicious. Yeah. So you might need more.
Yep.
Cool. So Hannah, tell me, are there plants that won't make it into your garden next year?
Oh, yes. There are a few failures that I am tired of failing at. And goodbye cucumbers and melons.
I love the fruits. I know.
But I'm so lucky to live within a gardening community where I know I can get cucumbers and melons from my neighbor friends without having to battle the cucumber beetle and the disappointment that comes when you find your plant all wilty.
This
will not happen again next year. I won't put myself in that position.
Well, that's a nice evaluation of your garden, and a great way to use, you know, your space, knowing
it's tight space.
I'm not gonna have success with this, so why keep going?
Yep.
I tried a tomato plant this year in a container.
Yep.
And it grew wonderfully. I got absolutely no fruit from it at all.
Sure.
So it was an experimental tomato.
Yep.
So it was, you know, I'm like, okay, I know that this one isn't going to be good. So
a great relationship with that tomato.
Yeah. And it was a beautiful plant, and I took really good care of it all summer, but I got nothing.
Yep. Some things aren't meant to be.
Yep. So do... as we've gotten towards fall, do you replant anything? Do you do any succession planting to have more things to harvest in the fall?
I'm working towards being that type of gardener. Maybe if I'm lucky, I'll get some market turnips in the ground yet for the season, or some red clover cover crop going. But this time of year, I'm trying to make the most of what my garden has left to offer. I make a homemade cleaner with lavender and mint and vinegar, eucalyptus and lemon verbena. I make homemade balms with calendula, beeswax, coconut oil, and essential oils. I make vinegars for salad dressings with nasturtium blossoms or chives. And I'm just busy pressing every little less blossom and frond of leaf and stem that I can for future winter crafting. So another phase of my life, I will be a very successful succession planter. Right now, I am a chaotic garden artist.
You sound so busy. I can't imagine how you take care of that whole garden and your family and do all the things that you do.
Don't look at my kitchen. Thank you.
So tell me, how do you plan out next year's garden? Talk a little bit more about that.
I really have to think about square foot gardening. thinking about companion planting, air circulation. Over the years, I've learned that there's a number of plants I like to grow that like to grow in the shade of my tomato plants, such as basil or Japanese indigo, different types of coreopsis. And I take advantage of every little nook and cranny of my garden. I try to plant melons underneath my tomatoes, and some years that works and some years that doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I take the wind into consideration a lot too. I put large containers on the edges of my garden beds to kind of create wind breaks. And within those large containers, I can create little families of companion plants between like peppers and different herbs that support the peppers that support the herbs. And it's just a wonderful little family of plants that I have growing in different areas of my garden.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of companion planting, lots of square foot gardening methods.
Yeah, and you have some raised beds too, right?
Slightly raised. I kind of have like woven edges around those beds. They're maybe 6-8 inches tall, mm-hmm. just enough to add a little bit of leverage. But all of my garden beds have wiring of some sort around them to help with rabbit patrol.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about how you deal with
the... This was the year we added the little fences around all the gardens.
Yeah, because the bunnies have been very abundant this year.
Yes, and I understand that that's a response to... the bird flu and a reduction of raptors, about 30% raptor loss from bird flu, and that's impacting our rabbit population as well as the mild winters.
Yeah, because I had never really seen any rabbits out where I live, and I live kind of outside the city limits, and this year, they're everywhere.
Yep, they're prolific.
Yeah. Yes. So you use your little grid paper to draw out.
I've got it figured out by the foot, by the half inch, or not half inch, excuse me. I have it figured out by every 6 inches.
Uh-huh.
You know, if a plant needs a square foot of space, then it gets that. But I can utilize the space underneath it with other little things that grow.
Oh,
and sometimes they're beneficial, like calendula is great. And then I get to use that for salves and other such things. The pollinators love it. It self-seeds. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, great plant.
I'm not a clean gardener. I let the garden kind of plant itself some years. Mm-hmm. I think a lot about, I can have 6 tomato plants. This is their size. This is their growing habit. So I have some growing up trellises, whereas others, I've got some just growing up like simple little teepees or things of sorts. So lots of structures built into my garden.
Yes, I was going to ask about the structures because you've got a lot of them in your garden.
Yeah, I am lucky enough to have neighbors with trees, and anytime someone loses as a branch, they just leave it out for me to get rather than the neighborhood pick up. And I'll turn it into something lovely and have sweet peas or sugar snap peas or anything growing up it within the next year.
Yeah, a lot of vines I remember in your garden growing up, those little teepees of sticks.
And... I like to have a sense of scale within my garden. I think there's something to be said about walking through a garden with childlike wonder. And if you grow all the plants big and tall around you, you definitely get that sense of smallness and place within our natural world.
Oh, that's beautiful. Awesome. Well, as we're going into fall, mm-hmm. what activities do you typically do at this time of year?
Sure. I've got to bring my geraniums in, coleus, houseplants. They all enjoyed their summer outside. I tend to take fresh cuttings of those, less issues with thinking about anything that got into the soil or things like that. I'm trying to just make it easy on myself. I'm drying lots of herbs. I'm digging up my dahlias and my chocolate cosmos, cutting back my irises, trying to get all sorts of leaves from my neighbors to create some leaf mulch. And this year I'm planting garlic. I took 1 year off of garlic. I missed it. I missed it so much. And we're getting garlic back in the garden this year.
Awesome.
It just gave me a sense of phenology in my garden. This is when it's starting to sprout. Now I have my scapes. Now it's doing this. And I missed the rhythm that the garlic gave me. So, got to bring it back.
Yeah.
Got to bring it back. And then this is very exciting time of year for bulb shopping and bulb planting.
Yes.
So starting to think about that, taking notes, setting new goals, which we talked about. And something that I think that none of us should be overlooking is watering our conifers and our shrubs. You know, the rain kind of doesn't come at that sense of regularity or saturation that it does during our summer storms. So mm-hmm. making sure that everything like that is getting at least an inch a week going into the winter.
Sure.
Yep.
Yep.
And seed saving. So much seed saving is happening this time of year. I try to go around to my favorite calendulas because they each have something a little different to offer. Mm-hmm. My zinnias, cosmos, four o'clocks, things like snapdragons, columbines, poppies, and foxgloves. I save those seeds and I use those specifically for my milk jug seed starting in January.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so there's certain things that I save just for, you know, my March, April, May seed starting, but then there's certain ones I save just for my early milk jug seed starting in January.
Do you you save a lot of seeds?
Yep.
Do you buy a lot of seeds too?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yes. Andre at Firefly Farm says I'm Westby's best seed collector. But to be fair, I also grow them all too. So, yes, I very much enjoy buying them as much as seed saving. And the seed saving is fun to start seed swaps within your neighborhood, or maybe we start a little free seed library somewhere.
Ooh.
You know, so save those seeds. You never know when we're going to need them.
Yep. Sounds like a great idea. Anything else that you're up to this fall in your garden?
Oh, that's a great question. I think just soaking up the last of it. Is it, I don't know. That's sort of sad to say, but there's beauty in letting go. So just taking in every last bloom that it has to offer.
Oh, that's another wonderful thought.
Okay.
what other parting words would you like to share with our listeners today about the garden or planning for next year?
If you have a quiet moment to pick up a book, and just sit in the garden while we still have a few warm days, I'd suggest reading The Service Berry by Robin Wall Kimmerer. It is a book that imagines a system where resources circulate through communities, creating webs of independence that nourish both humans and nature. This is the first book I read of 2025, and it honestly brought some tears to my eyes. It validated my approach to gardening and life. I feel like at a time when being hopeful can feel frivolous, this book grounded me and reassured me of my place and the role I can take on to share my gifts and others to strengthen our community.
Well, I have nothing else to say then. That was awesome.
Okay, great.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Hannah, and sharing your thoughts about gardening. I love your perspective. And I look forward to reading The Service Berry now because it sounds like a wonderful book.
Yeah. Thank you, Donna.
Uh-huh.
I'm happy to share my gifts.
And happy to have you here. On the bookshelf this month, I pulled out a book I picked up a few years ago called Saving Seeds, The Gardener's Guide to Growing and Storing Vegetable and Flower Seeds by Mark Rogers. This book explains how to raise, harvest, and store seeds for many popular vegetable and ornamental plants, and each plant listed is discussed in detail. Hannah also mentioned The Service Berry by Robin Wall Kimmerer, a book that she lent to me so that I can read that this fall. In the tool shed, let's take a look at rakes. I think you'll find that in the days and weeks ahead, a good leaf rake or lawn rake will come in handy. Most leaf rakes are up to about 30 inches wide, so you can cover a lot of area with that rake. The wide plastic tined rake is a durable choice. They're effective when raking leaves, especially if they're wet. Wide metal tines in a leaf rake are very useful if you have lots of pine needles to rake, for instance. And a bamboo rake is a popular choice as well. They are a little less durable, but the bamboo rakes can be a little more gentle when raking over flower beds. Among the garden journal tasks we have this month, we've had some 80-degree days, but we still need to prepare for future frost dates. And as Hannah mentioned, digging some of your tender plants and getting those ready to overwinter, like cannas, dahlias, begonias, gladiolas. You'll want to discard the tops and store those bulbs, corms, and rhizomes for the winter. Make sure that they get thoroughly dry before you put them away. You want to rake and compost or recycle fallen leaves. Leaves can be shredded or left on the lawn to decompose. They can be dug into garden beds, annual garden beds, or add them to your compost pile. Continue watering any newly planted perennials, trees, and shrubs until the ground freezes. Hannah also mentioned particularly watch your evergreens. They need to be watered well to minimize any desiccation over the winter. Well, that wraps up our show for today. I want to thank you again for joining me, and I want to thank my guest, Hannah. I enjoyed spending time with her today and sharing all of her thoughts about gardening. I'll leave you with a couple of songs from my garden playlist. Hannah actually was the person who originally had asked me about if I had a garden playlist. So first would be the classic Harvest Moon by Neil Young. And before the end of the month, you must listen to September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, a classic R&B and funk song. I love the brass and percussion in this song. I'm ready to get up and dance to it right now. Have a wonderful day, friends. Let's go out and make our world a little more beautiful, one plant at a time.